141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we strap ourselves in for a blockbuster weekend in Scottish football. Callum McGregor trained today and will be involved at Ibrox, but will it be from the start? Brendan Rodgers says John Beaton is one of the best refs in the country, while Philippe Clement is playing down the decisive nature of Sunday's fixture. And elsewhere, will Dundee's pitch woes continue with an inspection due ahead of the visit of Motherwell tomorrow? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, two men who know all about a certain fixture taking place on Sunday. It's Simon Donnelly and Kenny Miller, and I bet you two can't wait.
Two more sleeps. That's what it is. Two more sleeps until the big one. And again, listening to the managers kind of speaking, and I mean, Philippe Clement talking about not being decisive. Listen, it's not going to... No league titles are going to be handed out, but this could go a big, long way to not confirming, but putting, for me, Rangers into a really strong position going into the last six games of the season. If Rangers were to win and they follow that with their game in hand, 5 points with six games, for me, I can't see them throwing it away. So for me, it is really important for Celtic that they don't lose this game. Brendan Rodgers' record in it, it speaks for itself, so it's just going to be a blockbuster encounter. Can't wait.
Yeah, massive. Like Kenny, looking forward to it. I think it's setting itself up to be a really special game. I think both teams are getting back to what you would regard their stronger teams, players coming back. And like Kenny, no guarantee, but one hand on the trophy if somebody comes out with a win at the weekend. I really think so. It's a big game. You talk about these games being decisive. Celtic have won the first two, but still find themselves in an insecure position in the league. But these next two, and this one in particular, just at the point of the season, it's a big one.
Come on then, 01419511025. This is essentially your last chance. We'll have Saturday's show, of course, but in terms of our 2-hour format, your last chance to really get all your thoughts out there on the fixture, whether that's bravado, bragging rights, anxiety, nervousness, suggestions about who should play and who shouldn't, complaints about the referee, anything else at all. This is the place to share it. Friday night, 2 days out from a meeting of Rangers and Celtic, is what Clyde One Super Scoreboard is all about. So please get in touch on 01419511025. Any thoughts at all? If we want to get more specific, what about Callum McGregor? Back training today, the first time he's been back training. He'll get another crack at it tomorrow. Celtic fans, is he so important that he plays regardless? You take the chances from the start and take him off if you have to, or is he maybe going to have to do it from the bench? What would you do with the captain, Callum McGregor? Give us a call right now on that one, 01419511025. Rangers fans, a similar, albeit granted it's not the captain and so on. Ridvan Yilmaz, bit sort of touch and go. What are you thinking there? Borna Barisic is the left back in his absence, or is it? Would you go Dujon Sterling? Is it Borna Barisic? Would you risk a half fit Ridvan Yilmaz? Get your thoughts in there. And then some very interesting comments today. Brendan Rodgers says John Beaton's one of the top refs in the country. He's comfortable with him being in charge. Brendan Rodgers also hit out at the, sorry Hugh Keevans if he's listening, the narrative that people have been writing them off heading into this game. Whilst Philippe Clement, he always keeps his cards sort of close to his chest, doesn't he? He doesn't think this one will be decisive in terms of the Premiership title race. I suspect some of you will disagree. So come on down, give us a call on 01419511025. And believe me, fans of the other teams, I know these weekends can feel a bit frustrating. You feel like you're an afterthought. There is a supply and demand nature to that. However, we are here for you. What about this Dundee pitch debacle, which involves Motherwell directly this weekend and then maybe Rangers next midweek? So your thoughts on that one, please. Usual number and anything else at all ahead of a big weekend, you know where we are. Stuart is going to kick things off. Stuart, how are you?
I'm fine, yourself?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking then? Are you the type that gets nervous a couple of nights out from these games?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you're a football fan, you've got to be nervous. You've got to be. But I think the game on Sunday, I mean, Rangers obviously fancy their chances to beat Celtic. They'll start favourites, obviously, because of the home advantage, hostile atmosphere. But I just think the game will be won in the middle of the park. I think whoever wins the midfield battle could go on and win the game. I don't let the panel think about that. And I think Celtic have got to start with Kyogo up front, for the reason being that time after time he's done it against Rangers. And I think they're a wee bit kind of scared of him because he's moving. I just want to see what the panel think about that.
But let me ask you one more before I throw it to them, Stuart. So you've said the middle of the park.
Yeah.
Are you going for Callum McGregor? Are you going for a undercooked Callum McGregor from the start?
Yeah, I think he's got to start the game. I think he's got to start, maybe, I don't know, we'll play 50, 60 minutes, but I think he's got to start in the middle of the park. I think we need him there. Because Rangers are a physical team, and Celtic are not very physical in the middle of the park. And that's, it just could be one there, that's what I think.
Well, listen, I think games, it's quite a generic throwaway statement for me that games can be won and lost in the midfield back. But what there is, Stuart, there's going to be a really, for me, intriguing battle in the middle of that pitch when you're thinking McGregor, O'Reilly and Hatate is probably going to go up against Lundstrom, Diamande, Lawrence, stroke Cantwell. I think I've got a funny feeling Lawrence might just get the nod in that midfield. So for me, that is the strongest area of both teams, for me. In the midfield, again, if that's everybody's fully fit and available... And I expect Callum McGregor to start. Whether there's no way he's going to be 100% fit, but I expect him to start with what's at stake in this game. But I think what it can give you, and Celtic have had this over the first two Old Firm games for me, is it gives you a control, and Celtic dominate the possession, and Callum McGregor is the guy that's at the heart of that. He's the one that pulls the strings. It's the heartbeat of the Celtic team, and he is the one player on that field who will be on that field on Sunday who can dictate the tempo and the play the way Celtic will want. So it's a really intriguing battle, but for me the game will be won and lost like the first two ones have in moments. Who steps up in the big moments? The Kyogo.
Stuart's picked the man, hasn't he?
Well, he has. He's the main man in the last three seasons in the fixture, whether it be cup games and cup finals or whether it be the Old Firm games. He's been the decisive player in the first two, you know, two wonderful finishes. I mean, the first one so ruthless and instinctive, but then at Celtic Park, it's not even a chance. You know, he creates the chance with some individual ability and puts it in the top corner. So it's for me, it'll be won and lost in those moments, and who takes theirs and who doesn't.
Callum McGregor playing from the start.
Yes,
no doubt about it.
I agree with Stuart. I think even 80-85% start him. The interesting thing for me will be who plays alongside him, because Hatate played for an hour last week. I think Iwata has actually been playing well for Celtic in that, you know, defensive midfield role. So it'll be interesting
to
see.
That's McGregor's role though, isn't it?
It is. He's played a wee bit further forward at different times when Iwata's been in the side, obviously with Hatate being out. But yeah, it's more often than not, that's his position. Is it going to be a straight swap? But he has to play for me. I look at the game at Ibrox the last time, he controlled a lot of the game. Callum McGregor, Rangers gave him a lot of time and he controlled the game. And the other one that Stuart makes a point for, as you have touched on, Kyogo, has to start. He's shown little signs in recent weeks that he's back at his sharp best, and he pops up more often than not in these games with crucial goals.
Give us the professional's mindset then, or I know it's hard because you're not Callum McGregor, you don't know the exact nature of the injury, but by and large, out about a month, train Friday for the first time for a game Sunday, you get another go at it on the Saturday. I assume that's a light session or whatever you do, a bit of shape before the game. How do you feel? You feel confident enough to get in?
I think he'll know. I think he'll have a relationship there with Brendan Rodgers. He'll know himself, within himself. He maybe not right up at 100%. That's obvious because he's missed a few weeks. He'll know himself. He's a very fit lad. And you look at the sports science nowadays, I think, with the games left as well, I think he'll know. There'll be a dialogue there with Brendan, and if he feels he's ready, he'll be in.
I just think if it's a calf injury, again, we're just talking about calf injuries in our old age before, it can be a hard one, you know, and it might be one where, because I believe he'll play. If he's training now and I think he's going to give it the best possible chance to play, he might need to manage himself through the game. So I don't think Callum McGregor can be right at his peak in terms of his fitness, and then he's been missing football. Listen, I don't think in this game that'll have too much of a bearing. It'll be more what the injury is and how it can impede him in the game. Because if it's been that calf injury, and it's, what is it, when you're looking at 4 weeks, just over 4 weeks, it might not have been enough time for it to fully be ready. Mm-hmm. So there might be some heavy, maybe painkillers and heavy strapping on that, just to try and kind of give it some support. But it might not be kind of right at the peak of his powers on Sunday, which it might need to be. You know, I mean, it's a huge game, you know, and everything that goes into the intensity and the emotion and the energy, can you manage yourself through that game? Again, that's like you say, it's up to Callum McGregor and how he feels.
Stuart, how important is this one? Which I appreciate. Sounds like this daftest question in the world because they're all so important. But what's this one?
I would say over at the moment, right now it's a tear draw. I think if Rangers beat Celtic tomorrow, the league's finished totally. A tear draw just now.
So worth bearing in mind, although I know everyone's got this stuff memorised, if Rangers won their game in hand, they've obviously got the advantage.
Yeah.
So for Celtic, then presumably Stuart's saying a draw as a sort of that'll hold it for a bit, and then we need to beat them probably in the game at Celtic Park. Do you see the logic in that? Can you afford to then shift all the importance onto the last one?
Yes. Yeah, because I think if they can get through the game at the weekend, I thought about it earlier, if they can get through the game at the weekend undefeated, then they have that massive game at Celtic Park where it turns. You know, and you would like to think the advantage that Rangers have at the weekend, Celtic, that would turn, and you'd be closer to home as well. It'd be, what, 3-4 games from the end or whatever it is. But it reflects on Stuart there saying how important this game is, the fact that he's saying he would settle for a draw.
I don't think
Celtic will prepare that way. I think both teams will go for it. I think Brendan will go for it. Yeah. But I can understand what Stuart's saying there.
Thanks to Stuart. Let's hear the official explanation, if you like, on Callum McGregor, so you can keep your thoughts coming in. Would you risk it all and start him, or is there a potential for him to begin the game on the bench? Brendan Rodgers says, as we've alluded to, he's fit enough to feature, and the decision will be made tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll do one final run with Callum tomorrow in our last session, but he's done remarkable to be back. He's way ahead of schedule from what we thought, but it just shows you his professionalism and how hard he's worked. So he'll be involved in the squad, and if he is, then it's great news for us in every capacity, because we've got a clean bill of health really for probably the first time this season. So we'll make a final call on that tomorrow. He's the type of player that can probably get by at 80%. That's for sure. He has that level, he has that quality. But of course, you also have to think about there is remaining games throughout the season. So it's just about being logical and finding out where he's at with all his tests, the measurements. He's been in the training, so clearly his quality is there. But we just have to gauge whether he starts, whether he comes into the game, or what involvement he has.
See, maybe I'm nitpicking because I think that is meant to be good news, you know, the way Brendan Rodgers says it. But when he says it's remarkable that he's back already, there might be people out there who think, well, does that mean that, you know, he shouldn't really be at this stage? And does that mean there's a doubt there? But I suppose the bit later in the clip where he speaks about testing and so on, is that where...
I'm one of the people. Yeah. I'm one of the people who think that when you look at the injury, and again, just even Brendan's own words, that remarkable, like you say, way ahead of schedule. Like, that's because this game's here. If this had been, with the greatest of respects, St Johnston, Callum McGregor would be playing. So it's interesting.
Yeah. We'll see, although maybe there's these sports science tests that he speaks of are probably above our heads. Let's bring in Stuart in Clarkson. How's it going, Stuart?
Good evening. Yeah, fine.
Give us the Rangers perspective then.
My Rangers perspective is that Callum McGregor is such a key player for Celtic. I really feel that if he plays, then Rangers give him too much scope. And I know Gordon Dale mentioned that you can't man Matt these days. I disagree. If this man gets on the ball and starts spraying it, Rangers in a bit of trouble. They've got a bit more football in the middle of the park, Celtic. But with this man come on, he's got such a team spirit going in this Rangers team. Anything's possible. I just feel that Callum, I don't think he's got a chance of playing tomorrow. I disagree with Kenny, thinking that he's going to be near it. I just don't see it in this rain. It's been heavy all day. Another wet day tomorrow, and Sunday it's Rangers weather.
So that's what you're hoping for ultimately, Stuart, then, that he doesn't make it?
No, I don't think he will make it. There's no chance of making it, actually. He's been out for so long. And even if he does come on, I would put a man on him tight so that don't give him any. I've seen him controlling Celtic Rangers games recently quite a bit over the years, and nobody's getting near him. They've given him far too much room, Rangers. But this man, come on, he's done his homework. And I see him doing more. I just see him as the man for the future. Hopefully he'll be there next season and do a good job then. But at the moment, the Rangers have got such team spirit. And I like to see the boy, Ross McCausland, giving a bit of width to the Rangers forward line as well. The two width and young Silva on the left. Give a wee bit of width to the both man and give Dessers. Dessers needs a big goal, as Kenny says, in a big game. This could be it on Sunday. That's my viewpoint. Yeah. Callum's the key. If Callum doesn't play, Rangers, I fancy very strongly. If he does play, a little bit iffy, big iffy.
It was interesting. I don't know if you saw the quote from Philippe Clement today where he's, don't get me wrong, I understand why he did it. He's not going to sit there and maybe admit this fact, and you have to box Clever a bit as a manager. But he said, I don't agree that Callum McGregor dominated the game at Celtic Park, but it's important to take that strength out of the team. Whereas, actually, if Stuart's an example, there are quite a number of Rangers fans who thought he dominated the game at Celtic Park, never mind Celtic fans.
By the way, he controlled long spells of that first game at Ibrox as well.
The Ibrox one springs to mind for me.
Absolutely, for me as well. He is so important to that team. You know, again, you're talking about what has done. Yeah, he is, but he's no Callum McGregor. You know, and the whole kind of thing can change. Callum has got the ability, and I think there's not many players who could be playing on Sunday who can do that. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking back to my time. Like Barry Ferguson was our guy that done that. Yeah. You know, he just controlled any game. He could do everything within the game. You know, Callum McGregor's in that type of mould for Celtic. He can get on the ball. He can dictate it. You think even the one at Ibrox where it was a bit flat and he just goes through players. He can increase the tempo when he wants to. He's so, so important. Like you say, Philippe Clement is going to box Clever with his words. If Callum McGregor's not on that team sheet on Sunday, that is a massive blow to Celtic and, for me, a huge, huge boost for Rangers.
What then, because Stuart says, you know, put someone on him, and I remember vividly the calls after that meeting praising Callum McGregor, but from the other side saying that Todd Cantwell got nowhere near him, was miles off it. Is that less of a worry because Todd Cantwell seems in a much better place now than he was then? Or does it maybe need to be someone different? Does that bring, I don't know, a Tom Lawrence into the equation?
I think but one of them will play alongside Diamandé and Lundstrom, I think.
Which one?
I've just got a feeling Lawrence will
really play.
I don't know why. You know, I've just got a funny feeling Lawrence will play. Listen, Cantwell, see what the Rangers did, and I know the league was done and all that thing, and they keep throwing these meaningless phrases at that game last year. But the Rangers never let Callum McGregor dictate that game when Rangers won 3-0 at Ibrox in the last game of last season. And I watched Callum a lot that day, and he was getting so frustrated with his own teammates because he wants the ball in these tight situations. That's what he's in there to do. He can handle it, but he wasn't getting it. It's like they were a bit afraid to kind of even just roll it down the side of the pressing player so he could then move into the space and take it. And I could see him saying to Carter Vickers, just put it in there and I'll go and get it. You know, so he was getting really, really frustrated. But that day, I think it was Todd Cantwell got in and around him, and they didn't allow him, and they disrupted like the flow of Celtic's build, and they were like, he didn't get the kind of the foothold in the game that he's had definitely in these first two games. So there is ways to do it. Is it a man marking job? No, necessarily. You just need to be in the area that you can disrupt him and be close enough. By the way, to even ask the teammates the question, do I really want to give him in there?
But then, presumably Celtic will know that Rangers might try and do that, and then you've got options of, well, just trusting Callum McGregor to be good enough to handle it, or
says it,
you
likes,
tweak what you want to do.
He's quite comfortable taking it in tight situations. I think where the last game at Ibrox, players didn't get close to him, but you look at the likes of Cantwell and Lawrence, it's not in their makeup. I know they're in there and they have to do a bit of defence, but they're more attacking thinking players. You've maybe looked to the likes of Lundstrom, who's a wee bit more of an aggressor in there. But they certainly would have to get close. As the caller says there, Stuart, if you give the likes of Callum McGregor time in the middle of the park, he will dictate. He will. Whether he's 80% or 100%, he's more than capable.
Thank you, Stuart. I think that's two Stuarts. Other names are available if you want to call in. 01419511025. You want to talk specifics about, you know, Callum McGregor or other players? What about left back, Rangers fans? If Yilmaz doesn't make it, is it obvious? Is it Barisic? Is it someone else? Is it Dujon Sterling? And then that wider picture, what does this one mean? Who needs to win it? Who can get away with a draw? All those permutations, give us a call right now and we will get you on after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller, Simon Donnelly, you know which corner they're both in this weekend. But how are you feeling on 0141 951 1025? Get your calls over to us, just like John has done from Cumbernauld. What are you thinking then ahead of this weekend, John?
I'm absolutely buzzing for it. I've not had an old firm like this in many, many years, and I'm sure it'll be a great spectacle. Whoever wins, could end up winning the league. It's a thing that's not happened in a long, long time, and it's only great for our game as well, I think.
I feel like there's been a touch of rewriting in the sense that Angie's first season actually was pretty close, and it got, you know, got close. I think maybe everybody, Celtic, got their noses in front and just stayed there with like limited drama, but it wasn't not close. That was the one outlier. Every other one, and not even the one Rangers won recently, have all been by a mile.
Yeah,
Angie's first season was pretty close. But I do take what John means, because we are now, well, obviously, we're in April, and it is absolutely all to play for. What is the importance of it then? Let's go for all the kind of theories out there. You alluded to earlier, you think Celtic would settle for a draw?
I think they'll go for the win.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I think we spoke to Stuart there. I think if you come away with a draw, it's not the end of the world, because they've got the game at Celtic Park.
So does that apply then to Rangers?
Because absolutely does.
Yeah, like, because they're the
we'll
ones
go for the win.
In theory, in theory. Technically, officially, they're the ones with the so-called advantage. Because, and now I'm just tying myself in knots, because it's not a so-called advantage. It is, if they win their game in hand.
Yeah.
Rangers would be top. So does that mean that they settle for they would take a draw, or
I think they'd settle for two draws and the Old Firm game at Celtic Park as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, they could afford to do that. Yeah. But there's a bravado attached to this. You know, the expectation at Rangers has only gone up in recent times.
There's a psychological boost as well, that if somebody comes out on top on Sunday at this stage of the season, it's a huge blow to the team that lose, I think, to bounce back. Yeah. It's not over, but it's a huge...
And you can spin that both ways then, because if we get to the third meeting and still Rangers can't win any, Celtic fans understandably would say, well, yeah, the difficulties elsewhere, but we've got their number.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then also, Rangers win it, it would be a case of, their bubble has burst sort of thing.
If Rangers won it, and then they follow up with the game in hand, and they're 5 points clear with six games to go, Rangers don't throw that away
for
me. No. I don't think so either. Would allow it to happen. You know, he's the way he plays, like you've seen a lot of coaches and managers over the years overcomplicating things and trying to play how maybe they think people want them to play and how they need to be seen to be playing. Philippe Clement's a winner. You know, he's talked about it. It's game by game. He wants to win. And more often than not, since he's came in, his team have. If Rangers were to win, like, I think the psychology of it as well, I think even for Celtic to look at that on Wednesday night, potentially be 5 points back with six games to go, I just think they I think they look and think, you know what, we are relying heavily on other teams now. By the way, other teams that, for the most part, Philippe Clement and his team have swept aside since he's came to the football club. So, and on the other side, if Celtic were to win, I still think it's alive, because as much as it is at Celtic Park, it's two very, very evenly matched teams for me. Rangers could go to Celtic Park and win, and then go on to win the league. So I think it's, I've said it right at the start,
see if Celtic were to win though, I think then Wednesday becomes a different game, if you know what I mean.
Well, it does, because you're 4 points back.
It becomes a different game, and that's where it's really interesting, with the pressure and it fluctuating every week depending on the results. You know, whoever's playing first, another team having to respond. If Celtic were to win
the
weekend,
and will Wednesday be on, and where will it be?
Well, there you go. Well,
you could get your thoughts in on
Monday
that.
And Tuesday.
You could get your thoughts in on that. Motherwell fans might have some opinions to share. So, John, confidence wise you said you're buzzing for it, which is interesting, because some people are just really nervous at this stage. Where does the excitement come from? How confident are you Rangers get the business done?
I'm very confident. I'm not one of these people that will normally run my mouth out before the Old Firm. I just like to watch and see what happens, but I've got a sneaky suspicion the Rangers will come away with it. But I've got a wee question for the panel, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
What if it comes down to goal difference? I don't think I remember that ever happening.
Well, what do you think?
I think all nerves will be frayed in every quarter if it comes down to goal difference.
And then we'll spend the next 6 years poring over
certain goals.
This goal shouldn't have been chopped off and that goal shouldn't have been awarded, and I'll take 6 weeks off.
See, when you're at this stage of the season now, and it is this close,
so
everything comes into and you have to think about every single situation. And at this moment in time, again, just say it's a draw, and then Rangers only win by a goal, you're actually sitting level on goal difference. You know, it's so close at this moment in time. That's why for me, there's not going to be any league winners' medals handed out on Sunday. But these next two Old Firm games for me are going to be huge in deciding where it goes, because I can't see either of them dropping too many points out with these two games.
So Rangers win 1-0, pull it level in goal difference, then go and draw 0-0 against all the odds at Dens Park or wherever that game's played. Bubbles burst and then we're into goal difference. My, the possibilities are endless. We'll worry about that when we come to it. Is that the way it has to be?
I think we should. I think we should see how the game goes on Sunday before we... I think if it went to goal difference, it would... nerves would be frayed all over
I can't believe pundits are now still giving us take it one game at a time. What a terribly boring outlook. Anyway, thank you to John on the line. Funnily enough, Philippe Clement simply wants his side to focus on winning games and not possible permutations.
You know these are the kind of games that you need to grab the moment. It's decided in details. It's decided also with players making the difference, not only offensive but also defensive. And to be on top of your game, 90 minutes long, 100 minutes long. And we've proven that also in the past, that we can go through difficult moments. And if the moments are falling our way, that we can keep a result also. So that's what I expect from my players to do in that game.
01419511025, or you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. Let's bring in William, who's on the line. Callum McGregor, William, what are you thinking?
How you doing? Good evening, guys. I think listening to Rodgers today, I think he needs to make a decision. I think players will always want to play a game like this, you know, and I think he's with the way he was talking today, he was talking about the games coming, and we know Callum McGregor has gone to the Euros as well, so I think you've got to look at that. You've got to look at that as a player who's gone into the summer as well with Scotland. So for me, I think the way Rodgers was talking today, I don't think he'll risk him. I think he'll maybe give him 30 minutes when Hatate's done, you know, but I just think the three in the middle will be Awata, Hatate and O'Reilly. And I don't think in 80 minutes, because at the start of when they done that to Carter Vickers at the start of the season and they brung Carter Vickers back in the Lazio game, he didn't look ready. So for me, on the bench, I would give him half an hour, 20 minutes if you need to risk him. That's the way I would look at it. I think he's going to be responsible, Rodgers, and take the decision out of Callum McGregor's hands.
I mean, there's a lot now goes in with physios and sports scientists and so on. The player will have a huge input, I'm sure. He'll definitely want to play. I think that's stating the obvious. Like, the Euros is an undeniable fact. It just won't be in Callum McGregor's head this weekend, will it? I mean, it is in time, if it was to go wrong, and if he's to be plays at the weekend and doesn't come through it and there's another injury, then that's when Callum McGregor, I'd imagine, starts to worry about what his summer looks like.
I think Brendan Rodgers said as well in his interview there, he used the word logical, so that they wouldn't be taking unnecessary risks with Callum. Hatate, you know, played an hour last week, so he's not exactly at 100% either, so it's going to be interesting what three play in there. I just think the psychological edge for his teammates as well. Kenny touched on it. If the Rangers team look and there's no Callum McGregor, they might take something from that. I think his own teammates looking around and the captain's there alongside them, I think it's hugely important getting into this game. But I don't think they would unnecessarily risk him, you know, if there was a threat there. There's never a guarantee that there's a recurrence of a completely different injury, but I think the sports medical team will have did their jobs. There'll be dialogue between the two. Ultimately, it's Brendan's decision, but I think he will play.
The obvious debate there, Kenny, people act like everything's just kind of black and white, but there does seem to be two options in this scenario, where he starts, and if he has to come off, he has to come off, or he comes on, there's 20 minutes to go, and Celtic needs something, and the sight of the captain coming on gives everybody a lift as well. What, in your own experience, would you much rather start a game and see how you get on than be thrust into the heat of it?
Absolutely, you would. And I think you could. I mean, I think William makes some good points, because this one game, albeit it's a massive, massive game, and it will have a bearing on where the league title ends up at the end of the season. But there is still going to be six games after it. you know, and there is still going to be another Old Firm game coming up in a few weeks' time as well. So,
but you've mentioned the importance of this one.
No, I know.
Can you sometimes overstate that? Because Brendan Rodgers said it as well. And remember, you pointed out, we're here in a scenario where Rangers have the advantage in the league if they win their game in hand.
Yeah.
But have lost both the previous games. So surely of all, Celtic can't take games against other teams for granted.
But it's different. Now it's like the game there, the first game, there's 34 games to go. You know, there's another 22 games.
I just meant this notion that you risk it all in this one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think William makes that a good point. The reason you're risking them is because there's only 7 games left. Like, you wouldn't be risking them if it was one of the first two, is what I'm saying.
Got it.
Because you've got plenty of time to be making it up. Again, what it is you've got a squad of players for a reason as well. Yeah. You know, like, Callum McGregor is so important to Celtic. There's no getting away from that. But if you're going to be putting him at risk for the next 6 games after, and potentially a cup semi-final and cup final, and then the Euros in the summer for Scotland, that's maybe where Brendan Rodgers thinking about the logical word comes out and being sensible in relation to, right, okay, where is he at? What is the injury? How bad was the injury? Is there a real chance that could be, can read its head again in the first 5 minutes? You just never know. If it's a bad calf injury and you're going to push off in that first 5 minutes of the game, it could easily go again and you're off.
Yeah.
So, listen,
they are the kind of risks in the game that come up week in, week out.
But there might be the unnecessary risk that you've just said, is to put him at that kind of stage.
I think they'll know that. I think obviously they'll know that. I think, you know, Brendan's maybe playing his cards close to his chest. Maybe William's right. Maybe he'll put him on the bench and it'll save him for, you know, later in the game. We just don't know.
Are you confident, William?
For the game and the result, I think we having Cat Vickers and Hattati back, it strengthens us, because we didn't have them for the first couple of games, you know. But I think, there's a lot of emphasis on this game, there's a lot of hype in this game, and I think they could cancel each other out, these two games, the two Glasgow derbies, you know. So I think there's points to be dropped elsewhere, and I don't think it's important as what people are making out. You know, I think I hear what Kenny's saying about Clement. He's obviously got Rangers in a different mindset. So I look at it and I say to myself, I think the two games could cancel each other out, and I think they'll drop points elsewhere, and that's where the league will be won.
We will see. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, William. Let me have to leave it there. I'm going to give you the travel very soon. Usually we get a bit of bravado on the Friday night. Somebody somewhere phones in and says, I'm telling you, I think we'll win 5-0. But I've not detected much of it yet. Maybe you're out there and you want to give us a call. In the meantime, whilst we hear from you, let me tell you about this.
Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner.
Yes, Robert was awaiting news of a new grandchild being born when he got the phone call from Tyler West worth £250,000. What a few days Robert is having. He's planning to take the whole family on holiday. He set his sights on Mauritius. I don't blame him, looking out that window all day at the rain battering in. Now, Make Me a Winner is back on Monday and all weekend at Clyde1.com. Get half price entry into Monday's draw where you can win your share of £1 million. Get your entry in early and you could be your first winner.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Kenny Miller are here. 0141-951-1025. That's the number you need, or you can tweet us at the usual handle at Clyde SSB. I was almost certain that this would happen, and it does serve me right for trying to remember the goals scored and conceded off the top of my head. James says, if Rangers win 1-0, they would be one goal better off, not level. And James is indeed correct. I thought there was another one.
Pulled
in
you
it.
Up for the maths.
I just couldn't quite remember. That serves me right. And I like the honesty from Craig D, who says, 40 hours before the game, my nerves are shattered. With a nice wee clip of Jack and Victor sitting looking nervous. You know, the one where they're tapping their knees and they're tapping the table and they're nervous. So I think that maybe speaks on behalf of a lot of people. I did say usually there's just one or two out there who just come on here with that bravado and predict a massive victory for their team. Not had it yet. Maybe that suggests there is a bit of tension in the air out there. You all know it's getting to that really serious business end of the season. So keep the calls coming, keep the tweets coming, and we'll work our way through it together. Plenty being said by the managers today as well. We'll get to that in a second, but let's bring in Charles in Battlefield first. How are you, Charles?
I'm fine, thanks.
So the tweet I read out there, Charles said that 40 hours and his nerves were shattered. How are yours?
My nerves are a bit shattered. But I was wanting to say something about Cal McGregor or any other player that's not fit. Right, these games carry you through. Now, Kenny and the other fellow, Mr. Donnelly, I forgot his first name there. These games carry you through when you're big games like this, when you've got a slight injury. So I want to get a point on that.
Adrenaline. Yeah, how does that work? Is that like a general fitness, i.e. that's the bit that will carry him through, the rustiness? But if his calf goes, his calf goes.
Listen, and you're always feeling something as a player. I don't think I was fully fit since 2002. The amount of games you played after that, you're just feeling things, you know.
Don't phone in and say you can tell. That's a low blow.
Well, listen, that's fair. But absolutely. When, it just depends on what the injury is, you know, because I think when it's a muscular injury, if it's a calf or a hamstring or something, then you're going to need to be using that every single time you step, every single time you go to push off. And it can be that there is certain things that you can just, you have to roll the sleeves up, grit the teeth, get the painkillers in, and you can get on with it. You know, it's as simple as that. But there is an element to that. Again, it just depends on what stage it Callum's at with this injury, because it could be, there could easily be a recurrence here early in the game as well, if it's not fully up to, if it's not fully recovered.
Yeah, so Charles, you're a Rangers fan, you expect to face Callum McGregor basically at the weekend?
Yes, I think Callum McGregor will play and it'll be a big boost for Celtic. But whoever win, if Rangers win the game and win on Tuesday, they'll win the league. But see, if Celtic win the game, the momentum will swing Celtic's favour, I think.
Yeah, momentum's one of those brilliant words, isn't it? You can get that. The numbers tell you if Celtic win it, it's hardly over. I mean, how could it be?
No.
If Rangers were to go on and win Wednesday.
But I said earlier, I think if Celtic were to win it, the Wednesday game becomes different. You can be as professional as you want, but if you're getting up there on the back of a Rangers win, would that be added spring in your step, knowing that you can open up a gap? It's maybe a little bit easier, but I think there is a psychological edge there. If Celtic win it, Wednesday becomes different.
And just that added, now I know this falls apart because Celtic have won at Ibrox already. You know, we were in a mini run there of the away team with the no fans, hadn't got the victory, I don't think, yet until Celtic did it. But that, does that allow it to become even more of a statement? You go away from home with no travelling fans and win the game at a time when your opponents are feeling quite good about themselves. That becomes a bigger statement, I would imagine.
I think it would be a big statement if Celtic were to go to Ibrox on Sunday and win, and I think it would work wonders for them in terms of where their mindset's at going into these last six games of the season. Like Simon says, it's like they're human beings that are going to be on that field on Sunday, you know, so there is going to be a mental side of it and psychological side of it, and it will affect Rangers in a way if they were to lose that game, and again the opposite way for Celtic. So it's
definitely affects the players. But you had any tight title wins?
Yeah, I think 2008 to going into this game, were 4 points back,
and were you always looking to see what was going on?
Absolutely, you know, I'm quite open to say that. I said it, I don't know if it was on the show or at some point in the season, that went, oh, we don't look at that. No, I was there watching that game every single time.
And it affects you.
Then on that day, so what were you, 4 points behind?
Yep. We had to win.
And did you win?
Yeah, we won one. And Stevie Davis.
And went on to win the league.
And we went and won the league, yeah.
Did you feel more nervous in that occasion? Did it feel bigger, or does it just become the same as every other?
It's the same in relation to, again, I'll give you the boring generic answer, that it's the same going into the games. But you knew, if you didn't win, in my mind, if we didn't win that game, we were not winning the league, because it would have been, we were 4 points back with three games to go, have been. So you were relying on other teams taking points, which, by the way, subsequently did happen. You know, Celtic went to Easter Road and drew. We actually drew Easter Road as well. But I think we got 13 points out of the 15 after the split. I think Celtic only got 8, and that, so we end up winning by a point. You know,
look at recent times. You're talking about the first year of Postecoglou, the game when Hatate scored.
February, that swung everything.
They kicked on.
Yeah.
Kicked on big time.
Charles, I know it's more been made of it because he's Callum McGregor and he's the captain and so on. Rangers touch and go one, if you like, seems to be Ridvan Yilmaz. Has he become quite important there? What would you do if he didn't make it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to play Sterling in the middle of the park, but if I've got to put my left back, his Bonner's a liability. He switches off too much for me.
Mm, That's not a great indictment of Borna Barisic, because Charles might not be alone. You're at the stage where you're saying your actual recognised left back, a guy who's been there for a while, you wouldn't go there. You would pick a Rangers favourite utility man.
I don't think that. I think Borna will play. If Redvan's not fit to play, I think Borna will play. I think Dujon Sterling might be played in the position he's played more often,
really,
of late, which might be off the right side.
So who out of Fabio Silva and Abdallah Sima
won't start, I don't think.
No,
I don't think he'll start after just coming back last week. Listen, I just think that it's very soon for him to be coming back into this game as well, particularly when Silva's actually looked maybe better off the left than what he had done through the middle. Dessers will be your number nine, I would say, and then off the right hand side, what have you got? You've got Wright, McCausland, you've got Sterling's. I think Sterling might have a role in that position again.
Does the rest of Celtic's team pick itself for you, Simon? We've spoken about midfield, so if McGregor's fit, he's going to play. Probably, Tati and O'Reilly next to him?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
And then because of form, lack of form, availability, it kind of has to be Kun and Maeda either side of Kyogo.
Kun's been decent right. In the last two, three games. He's had assists and goals. Kyogo, definite. And I think Maeda, definite. Maeda... Well, he just runs and runs. He maybe shows that little bit of lack of composure at times, but I keep saying every week.
He knows a cross going into the stand at some point, but you just accept
but
it.
He just does it. But he'll go again.
Yeah.
He'll go again. And I've said it for the time I watch him, I would hate to play against the guy.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to be up and running against you for 90 minutes.
So there's apart from Callum McGregor's injury, no real mystery to the Celtic team then? Fairly easy
no
to
mystery.
Predict.
The only thing that I'm questioning him at, is what has been decent. I said at the start of the show.
Right.
So is it a straight swap?
So who out of O'Reilly and Hatate are you not playing then?
I don't know. Is Brendan going to
listen? I'll tell you that O'Reilly's playing.
And surely
end
so
off.
Is Hatate, no?
I think so. I don't think there's any question.
Does he play Hatate in a different role? Just something in my head. Maybe
so
comes up with something different.
I don't know if you can spin everything whatever way you want in this week of all weeks. It's easier to predict Celtic's team. Does that mean Rangers have actually got a bit more depth than they had previously and they've got more reinforcements?
I think the fact that it's pretty easy to maybe go on the Rangers team as well. Again, if
think
it's
so.
Not.
It's not as easy because you've said, you know, between Cantwell and Lawrence,
yeah,
you're talking about the wide areas both sides.
I think, listen, I might be wrong. I'm not sure Seymour will be, but it's the same thing. We're talking about Hatate's and you're talking about Carter Vickers and McGregor, who I think Carter Vickers and McGregor are just so important to Celtic that they have to play. I think Rangers have done okay in Seymour's absence. Listen, he was wonderful for the first half of the season. 15 goals in that first half of the season is an incredible return for a left winger. But it might just be too early for. But by the way, he's a really good player to have come
on. True. Thanks to Charles, it takes us up nicely to that time of the night.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun
for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You could set the tone for the weekend here. Rangers fans could take on Simon Donnelly, a Celtic fan take on Kenny Miller, and see what omens that brings. Beat the pundit time on 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Simon Donnelly are here on 0141 951 1025 and there are absolutely no prizes for guessing what fixture is dominating the phone lines tonight. All of your thoughts, please, ahead of Sunday, get them in right now. I do want to delve a bit deeper though. Come on down, you Motherwell fans, Dundee fans. What about this pitch? Pitch inspection tomorrow. Is it going to make it? Is it going to be played behind closed doors on Sunday? Certainly not if Motherwell have their way. So all your thoughts there, please, whilst we play this.
Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, end the week on a high. That is the challenge on Beat the Pundit. John is in the Gorbals. How's it going, John?
How are you doing, pal?
John, it's really straightforward, right? To make this better than last night's Beat the Pundit, all you have to do is not swear. Can you promise me that?
Aye, sure I can do that.
Honestly. I mean, have you heard it?
I heard it.
It is ludicrous.
The boys lost it, didn't they?
So I wasn't. I actually wasn't on the show
last
night.
That's using that as an excuse for his defeat. That's what he's doing.
I had an absolutely calamitous day of the highest order. I won't even run you through all the calamities, but the final calamity that meant I wasn't on last night's show was I was, I don't know what you would call it, like wrestling with my 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And she hurt her arm. And we ended up A&E. And hence why I wasn't on this show. However, she's at that stage where she talks quite a lot. Don't know where she gets it from. And has been telling everybody, when they see what happened to your arm, she said, "Daddy did it. Daddy grabbed me." Right? So if there's anyone out there, right, who works in social services and my name comes across your desk, I am innocent, I promise. But that's it. Everybody, the nurses, the doctors, any family members, anybody who's spoken to us
in
the last 2 days.
She's stuck.
Daddy did it. He grabbed me. Unbelievable. Anyway, that's why I wasn't in the show last night. Thanks to Andrew McLean for performing the late call up, and well done to him for at least trying to keep a straight face when we had a swearer on Beat the Pundit. Not great. You have to really, though, question the production staff, don't you? At what point do you think, right, 7 o'clock, is there a time difference? Benidorm, there's a guy in.
So there's a bit of say, he was abroad, wasn't
there? There's a guy in Benidorm at this time. Will he be of sound mind to take part and Beat the Pundit? Luckily, we're fine with John. John, have you ever played before?
No, I haven't, mate.
Good stuff. It's pretty straightforward. I'll toss the coin. You will find out who you play. If it's heads, it's Kenny Miller. And if it's tails, it's Simon Donnelly. And it is heads. It's actually an old Rangers affair. We've not got the rivalry yet. John's a Rangers fan. So we give. You, John, what we do is give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to, nice and loud, and then 30 seconds go on the clock. You answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay? One of you two is tapping your foot, stop it. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, John, your time starts now. Who's Celtic's top league scorer this season?
Not really.
Who was the last player to score a hat-trick in the Old Firm fixture?
Kyogo.
Who were the last team to beat Rangers? Domestically.
Derek.
What Scotland international plays for Chelsea women?
Cuthbert.
Which Dundee United player has played for Airdrie, Celtic and Standard Liège?
Pass.
What was the score in Brendan Rodgers' only defeat in this fixture?
1-0.
Okay, let's bring back Kenny Miller. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Ready, Kenny?
Yep.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Who's Celtic's top league scorer this season?
Matt O'Reilly.
Who was the last player to score a hat-trick in the Old Firm game?
Dembele.
Who were the last team to beat Rangers domestically?
Motherwell.
What Scotland international plays for Chelsea women?
Pass.
Which Dundee United players played for Airdrie, Celtic and Standard Liège?
Tony Watt.
What was the score in Brendan Rodgers' only defeat in this fixture?
1-0.
What does the I in FIFA stand for?
International.
Okay. John, how did it go?
Rubbish.
Have you got a?
I thought it was a.
I think there might have been in the background, but we'll just skim over it. My apologies if there was. I can't be doing this 2 nights in a row. Did you have help there, John?
You might have a pal just said.
That's fine. That's allowed. What's his name?
Craig.
Craig, because that confused me at one of the questions. I hope this doesn't end in a steward's inquiry. But anyway, we'll go through it. Celtic's top league scorers, Matt O'Reilly, both got it. 1-1. The last player to score a hat-trick was Dembele. So 2-1 to Kenny Miller. John or Craig, somebody did say Motherwell first, right? So I'll give you the benefit. I'll give you the benefit.
Ah, come on here. There's only steward's inquiries already.
I heard a Motherwell and then I heard a Celtic and then a Motherwell again. Yeah. I'm giving them it, right? I did hear a Motherwell, I'm sure of it. So still one up to Kenny Miller. However, the guy's equalised. Erin Cuthbert plays for Chelsea women. Incidentally, Scotland's women, featuring Erin Cuthbert, have just drawn 0-0 in Serbia in their Euro qualifying opener. So we're level. The Dundee United player, who's quite a CV, Airdrie, Celtic and Standard Liège, is of course Tony Watt. So Kenny goes back in front there. The Brendan Rodgers only defeat in the fixture was a 1-0. You both got it. Who was the goal scorer?
Ryan Jack.
And what does the I in FIFA stand for? Gordon DL won't like this because he's just on me for giving, but I think you've got to give international, don't you? It's not like internationale. I don't think we need to do like the French pronunciation or whatever.
No,
we don't,
because that means international.
Yeah, that's fine. So Kenny Miller with a 6-4 win.
Good, it's just got there.
That was a
just
good game, guys. There. Good game.
Cheers, pal.
What are you thinking ahead of Sunday?
I think we seem to come under the pressure quite a lot against them, so I think Celtic might just edge it, but I hope I'm wrong.
Well, try to cry it in. That's what he's trying to do.
Try like emotional. What's the word I'm looking for? To just like set yourself up. Make sure if it goes that way, you're okay with it. I thought more Rangers fans would be confident, John. No.
Oh, they just seem to get up our edge with that Brendan Rodgers.
Listen, you can't argue his record in the fixture. Yeah. We said it the other night. There's always circumstances, and people would say, "Yeah, but this Rangers team is maybe better than some of the ones he faced." He certainly knows what it takes. That's for sure. And again, I wonder about that, because some of the game you mentioned, the February game, Ange Postecoglou. You know, he was he was this newcomer, and nobody knew who he was, and who was Real Hitati, and Matt O'Reilly had came from MK Don. So I wonder if we put a lot of emphasis on, or if we put too much emphasis on what's happened in the past sometimes.
Listen, I think that obviously Celtic have had the upper hand this season, and I think the game at Ibrox was probably closer. I know Rangers came on strong with the one at Celtic Park, but they're down to 10 men. Celtic were 2-0 up at that stage and cruising for me. They did go a little bit when Tavernier put that free kick in, but I just like this. You say, I don't think you can no talk about Brendan Rodgers' record, because it's not easy. Even though, yes, I think this Rangers team are in a different place, this manager is a different animal as well. But I think he's very, very good at seeing what's going on and what the game needs, and just making these little tactical tweaks in game or making a change that can actually affect and help his team. So he's shown that over the 12 out of 15 that he's won, which is an incredible record. So. But listen, it's Philippe Clement's second game. You know, he'll want to be getting that first one, that first Old Firm one under his belt as well. So really intriguing affair.
Listen, Kenny touched on it earlier as well. These games can come down to fine margins. You know, when an opportunity presents itself, who takes them? Kyogo's been the man for Celtic. The last game, Dessers had chances, never took them. The score could have been different. So it's who really takes these little opportunities on the day. Brendan, yes, has a fantastic record in this, but I went on record last week saying when the potential suspension, I don't think it would have affected Celtic on the day, because he'll do his prep during the week. So, yeah, you can't read too much into that. Obviously, John's not super confident because Celtic have had the best of it over recent times, but these games, they can turn on ahead.
As a tactical battle, if you like, I think Celtic will have dominated the ball in most of the recent ones. That'd be the same this time. Even Rangers at
their, I think it will.
Even Rangers at the peak of their powers this season, they're not obsessed with possession, nope. Really, are they? How do you think that'll pan out?
I still think, again, assuming that Callum McGregor will play, I think he'll have a lot of the ball. I think Celtic will have the lion's share of possession. Like you said, Philippe Clement doesn't get bogged down with trying to create the perfect goal and playing through the thirds. They go direct a lot, you know, particularly if that Conor Goldson, he's got that kind of diagonal across for, again, if it was Seema a lot of the first half of the season, it might be Silva, it could be Sterling. Dessers offers the runs in behind as well. So I think Rangers are, like you say, they're not overly concerned about having possession for possession's sake. Listen, they do control a lot of games as well, and they've been performing really, really well of late. But I do see Celtic, again, it's more in their game. You know, it's what Brendan wants is control. He wants the ball. He wants to keep the thing moving. He wants it to be going through Callum McGregor. So, I would still assume it'll be a similar pattern to this game on Sunday.
Thanks to the guys on Beat the Pundit, 01419511025. Miller. So 100% record continues.
Well, I was listening last night as well. So
100%?
Gordon.
Yeah, he's not lost this season.
Remember he was saying, I bet he's played more games. So I think that's me. He got the 20th win and he's only got 19.
And he's played double the amount.
He's played all kinds of. He's at it.
Yeah, I think Miller, Halliday and Hannah, the only three, although Chris from Ayrshire did technically beat Roger Hanna.
Christopher, you mean?
Christopher from Ayrshire.
How's that table looking? Am I still?
Let me see if I've got the stats on me. Let me see.
I fell away. I get beaten my last one.
You would have overtaken Hugh Keevans had you played and won tonight. So you're doing not too bad. There's still 69%. You're similar to Hugh. You're just sort of mid-table, really. Mid-table. Just bobbing along.
Yeah. No relegation, no promotion, just another... Nah,
holiday mode, fine. You're on. You're on holiday mode.
just seasons just petering out for you, really. I think you've made the top six anyway. Right, 01419511025. That's the number you need. We can get very specific about, you know, who should play and who shouldn't and all that sort of stuff this weekend. The bigger picture, like, what does it mean and what result would you take? I said earlier, we usually get a bravado shout on the Friday night, and we've not had any on the phones. Although Andy sent me a message saying, not Halliday, by the way.
I was going to say, depending on what the score's going to be coming up.
Andy saying, I'm not brave enough to phone in, but you heard it here first, 4-0 Rangers, he said.
There you go, Andy Halliday on the phone.
No, it wasn't Halliday, it was a different Andy altogether. But anyway, right, give us a call and let us know what is on your mind. Speaking of Andy, we've got an Andrew on the line from Annie's Land. How's it going, Andrew?
How are you doing, Gordon, Kenny and...
Simon. What are you thinking tonight?
No, it was just about the Dundee game.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it was already called off because the pitch was a shambles?
Yep.
Basically, can we not get together and just move it to Tannadice? It's just across the road.
Yeah, this has developed into quite a story. You know, and it's origin.
Has there been talk of that?
Origins were a couple of weeks ago when...
I'm not on social media then. I don't know anything about that. It's just a thought in my head. I'm like,
they've looked at a number of options. The backstory for anyone who doesn't know it, Dundee have had a few games called off. It came to a head, the Rangers game, it was just before kickoff. We then had an old debate about when would it be rescheduled. Would it be this midweek leading into the Celtic game? By the way, in hindsight, good job it wasn't, because it would have been off anyway by the looks of it. It's meant to be next midweek, and in between times, Motherwell are meant to go there tomorrow. Now, Dundee, the latest update, if you like, is that there is a pitch inspection tomorrow morning. Dundee said yesterday that, you know, it was all sort of media speculation and that huge amounts of work had gone in and rain covers have been in place. But Motherwell's new CEO, Brian Caldwell, put a video out on their sort of internal media saying that discussions have been ongoing all throughout the week with several alternative options, including moving the game, mooted as contingencies if it fails the pitch inspection. However, Motherwell, I think, and I'm hopefully not being biased, not keen on that. You know, there's been all sorts, including behind closed doors on Sunday. That seems extreme, no?
Where? At a different venue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a different venue?
Mm-hmm. You know, like I say, all sorts of contingencies. So it says, if the game goes off Saturday, we play Sunday. If it's off Sunday, they play Monday.
And Wednesday.
That's the thing. Yeah. This is from the Motherwell perspective.
Yeah.
One of the contingencies was Airdrie behind closed doors Monday, I think. Are you keen on that?
It's not great, that.
Not really. Not really.
I seen, was it St Johnstone or Broth and Tannadice? Were they kind of through it there as well? Because they're not playing at home or something at that weekend.
And I think the Airdrie one, like others, would be that it's Astro.
Astro as well, yeah.
It's all a bit...
bizarre.
What is the right solution? I do actually
so
have...
So is Andrew, he's suggesting Tannadice?
Yeah, you know the landscape up there. I'm not saying this from any knowledge. Are Dundee United going to say, here you come?
I don't know. Yeah. Can't see it.
Wouldn't have thought so. By the sounds of it, I don't know if loads of clubs would be super keen to, because sort of why would you, you know? And
the thing for me, listen, I'm not an expert on surfaces, but they're on the same
road
in Tannadice.
Listen, someday there will be some boring reasons about
drainage,
whatever the specific stuff that's underneath it, drainage system, amount of money that's been spent maintaining it in recent seasons. I know it looks bad because they're on the same street, but yeah. I guess it's possible.
We had this conversation after the game was called off against Rangers a few weeks back. If they've been having these conversations all week, surely with the rain that's been forecast, they can protect the pitch enough.
But that's the thing, there are actually covers on
there. Yeah, I've seen the pictures, but surely... I'll be honest, it didn't look great. What I've seen, but...
So see if that game's played behind closed doors, and then what happens if it doesn't improve? Does the Dundee Rangers game get considered for that as well?
Well, this is the thing, and that's where Scottish football will always come back to that sort of stuff, because the spotlight just burns that much brighter.
See,
when
Simon's
when
already thinking about, well, why, this game could be completely different now, you know. He's already
saying fans,
yeah. fans and
when
okay.
the when the
no,
big, when
seriously,
the big
listen,
no, it's true though, when the big teams are involved, because I've seen Motherwell fans today obviously saying, would you expect Rangers to go and play behind closed doors?
Well, this is
at
Airdrie.
You know, and I can understand
and
why people
side,
would say
no disrespect to Motherwell, but Rangers, as we've talked about the whole show, are in a huge title race.
Motherwell could still make the top six. I don't find that relevant. That would, I guess, just be the logistics of it. You know, trying to organise a game at a day's notice or 2 days yeah. notice with tickets and policing and security. I would guess yeah. it's something along those
it's
lines.
It's not a good look for the league, is it?
No. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of seen it all and done it all, you think. And I do think there's a tendency for us to overreact to everything. But a Monday fixture behind closed doors yeah. at a stadium that doesn't...
Oh,
it'd be hard
By
to get
way,
your head
around
that.
And it's also a really important... I know you're kind of like tongue-in-cheek about Motherwell getting the top six. Dundee have got a realistic sure. opportunity being the yeah. top six. It's a home advantage yeah. their next two games.
Yeah. I think that's what not confuses things, but what makes it that bit worse is we...
You take it away, closed doors, different surface.
No, not even that. I mean, you know, if this happens in September, you've got time. But yeah. the split is approaching. Yeah. You need to announce post-split fixtures. Yeah. I do actually think there is a bit of time. And trying to word this properly, I don't know if you remember, we actually have had examples of pre-split games being played post-split. We have done it, but it's that bit more difficult when you've got teams who could be top yeah. six or bottom six yeah. involved. Yeah. I think... Have you got the Scottish Cup semi-final?
The following week, yeah. So there is a week
weekend
there.
As well. It's not. It's there. Clearly not ideal. It's yeah. miles from ideal, and it comes at one of the worst times of the season. But it's not impossible to fit it in, I don't think, unless the SPFL want to phone and tell me different. What does Chris? Let's thank Andrew for bringing it up. What does Chris and Ayr make of it?
Hi guys. See, every year we seem to have a team that struggles with a pitch. If it's not Dundee, I remember a couple of years it was Motherwell. I think we need to start taking points off them. Because it comes up, I mean, you look at the teams in the Championship, I take my own team, Ayr United, who playing surface is always brilliant. We don't have the same resources as the Premier League. So I just think, it's at the point now, we just start deducting mm-hmm. them points till they get their act together and getting the pitch sorted.
I get the logic there. I don't think Chris will be wrong, but I wonder if that's unfair based on the fact that, look, we are where we are, and what can Dundee do right now? You know, they're saying that in the last 2 weeks they've brought covers in, yeah. they've invested, or, you know, they've done a lot of hard work on it. Clearly that pitch needs fixed in the summer.
Yeah.
It is absolutely teaming it down everywhere, yeah. as your golf game is suffering from, as we've yeah. discussed this earlier. So I know what Chris means, and obviously it doesn't look good when you have had X amount of postponements, but now that we're here, what do? You just say, oh well, we didn't deduct points, or we didn't award the victory to the other team that last one, but you're getting it this one.
Yeah.
Does that...
I don't think you can do that.
I think it's a bit more moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like moving forward for me there, and whether it's points or whether it's financial fines or whatever, you can't, like, if this game's cancelled, this is the fifth game of the season that's going to be cancelled. Like, I would have suggested, by the way, make sure you've got all these measures in place at the start of the season. So whether it's covers or whether it's, again, it was Jim Duffy, I think, was talking about the dome, that you can inflate it, goes over, it kind of protects it. If it's only going to be for a night or two to try and protect it for the rain, there's measures that can be taken that even if the pitch is poor, you can protect it better than what they have.
I mean, we do have regulations in the sense that you need undersoil heating to play in the top flight, but there doesn't seem to be, you know,
a drainage equivalent to that.
I mean, yeah, and the rain has been particularly bad. Chris, do you see what I mean? How do we decide that this one, without that rule being in place, you know, this one's the one that they forfeit or whatever, but the previous one wasn't?
Well, you should maybe have like a three strike rule then. If the game's postponed more than twice, then it's points. That's what I know. It sounds brutal, but that's what I would do with them.
No, I get it, but I think that can only work if
you start.
Yeah,
if it's stipulated,
or if you've been found to not have put specific requirements in place, because we might get biblical rain that has never been seen before, and again, might be off three times. Yeah. It just might be.
Yeah.
And I know it gets worse the way the season goes on. It's not a good look, though. I think everybody can agree with that. That's for sure.
Yeah, and definitely if again if it then feeds into the Wednesday night game.
What
that,
do you mean
that
definitely
fixture?
If it feeds into the Wednesday night?
That Wednesday night game behind closed doors.
You're quite happy that Airdrie in front of any fans on Nashville.
Just should be steady because if some people might suggest that the Rangers, just get, no, Rangers get the points.
Oh,
then you'll change your mind on that.
Nah, they've got to play it on Dundee.
That should never, that can't happen. But if it wants to happen this weekend, just take it.
The thing is, you're talking about biblical rain and various things, and Chris is talking about, I think that ruling would have to come in at the start. Yeah. But again, I go back to the fact that there's a pitch, what, a 9 iron away from Ben's.
Wedge for some people, yeah.
and it's in fine form. Yeah. So
I get that, but I think that's just more of, it's just, that's not a good look, but it doesn't change anything. You know, like it just is what it is. Honestly, you think you've seen it all in Scottish football. If we have a Monday afternoon fixture behind closed doors, I think that might be new. It might be. Somebody can tell me if we've done that before. Thanks to Chris and Andrew before him. If you call now, we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Simon Donnelly are building up to the weekend's action. We are really ticking along now. We've had a 4-0 prediction for Rangers sent in. We're arguing about pitches. We're debating team lineups. It is all there. So get your thoughts in ahead of a big weekend on the usual number or Twitter whilst I get this question up and running.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, where their goal is a better wardrobe, slat wall, home office or media unit.
Okay, oh, this guy's not sent a question in a while, but it's just great when I have to read it out. It's Gordon DL's unusually large nose has sent this question in, and thank you for it. What about the week he's had, eh? Locked in the toilet. Did you hear about it?
I never heard that. I just heard a wee snippet of it last night.
I seen it on your Instagram.
He was, Tuesday night.
The look
night,
of relief.
I mean, you phoned me to come back before because you had a flat tire and I had to take you up the road.
So were you in the car?
I was outside and he phoned and said I was in the car and he said, I'm stuck in the toilet, but he's very claustrophobic. So he was, I shouldn't laugh, that's a serious condition. He was very, very scared.
The relief in his face.
And I went and the lock was lying on the carpet outside. So you could see immediately what happened and he was not in a good place, let me tell you.
He's not a good beat there.
No, he has not. Anyway, right, let's get this question ready. And it is very topical, as you would expect. I like it. I think you two will eat this up. Can you name the last nine lone players to score in a game between Rangers and Celtic, Celtic and Rangers? Can you name the last nine lone players?
Oh my goodness, I don't like these questions.
Bellamy.
I'm amazed that you've gone for the furthest back of them all.
I was about to say, how
with.
Far are we going back? But then I just went for it.
Bellamy's Bellamy. Far back, yeah.
That's incredible. What a place to start, because it's right, but I've not the one I expected you to go for.
Ryan Kent?
Yes. December 2019, because obviously we've had quite a few significant players in the fixture who've came on loan first and then turned permanent. So
yep, Jota.
Jota.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Just like that, you're a third of the way through it. So thanks to Gordon DL's unusually large nose for sending it in, and thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out as always on the teaser. Let's bring in Andy in Renfrew. What's your point tonight, Andy?
Hi guys, hi Gordon, Kenny and Simon, hope yous are well.
Hello.
Hiya, all right Andy.
It was just really to talk about the pitches, in regards to Dundee pitch. If you remember back, you used to have a set of standards for stadiums for teams to get promoted into league. You remember Falkirk couldn't come up because of the stadium.
Oh, I remember it well. I remember it as being in Motherwell, when Motherwell benefited from it. So yeah, that was the old 10,000 seater rule, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Why don't they introduce something similar for pitches? In terms of, you need to have a certain standard of a pitch, a certain level of undersill heating, a certain level of how good the pitch is. Because if you remember well, Livingston, which I've never got, had a grass pitch before they get promoted to the Premier League and change it to AstroTurf.
No, I think they had that a few seasons before that, didn't they?
Nope.
Was it that season?
Astro went down 2018-19.
Was it really? Yeah. There we go. I stand corrected, Andy. I'm very sorry. Yeah, look, we do, on Andy's point, I think it's a good one. We do have undersoil heating regulations, so they're already there. We probably need to have something. It goes without saying, though, it's a bit harder. You know, the old rule, which was a bad rule, even I can admit that, was 10,000 seats. You know, that's like a, that's a black and white thing. You've either got 10,000 or you don't. Yeah. You've either got undersoil heating or you don't. What does the regulation for, quality of pitch look like?
And it's also down to the groundsmen and how they look after it. Have they got, you said it before, have they got the lights that you see all the bigger teams have? Again, there's an expense to that. Again, some clubs have not got the resources to get, they might have some, but they might not have as much as they need to actually spread it over the whole pitch. So it's...
Do we need something? And we're straying into areas that I've no idea about, but whether it's like, I don't know, you must spend X amount, X percentage of your income on maintaining your pitch, you know, something like that. Surely we need, I think that's actually something Brian Caldwell said, the Motherwell CEO said, it's frustrating. There needs to be a bit more regulation. We all spend money in close season doing renovations, but if clubs aren't doing them, it opens a can of worms, it causes problems.
There needs to be something, because we can't be having games that, like, I think was it the only game in Britain that weekend at the Dundee Rangers game that there was a game cancelled. So firstly, it's not a good look for a league. It's a top flight. It's the elite level of our game. We shouldn't be having games called off when there's no other game called off all over Britain. So it's not a good look. So there needs to be something. What that is, I don't know. I'll let you again. How do you regulate what a good pitch or how much you've spent? Because again, you could spend money and there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to maintain it through the course of the season.
Although I have to say, it is kind of linked. Because, and you choose, you don't have to be the absolute elite, but Motherwell's was horrendous. Actually quite a while ago now. I've seen lots of people bringing that up because they're involved in the fixture. But they spent a lot of money on it in relative terms.
If you spend a lot of money and your groundsman's rubbish.
Well, that's the point.
Doesn't look after it properly.
Get a good one. You know, they spent a lot of money. They spent a lot of money in the pitch and they get a very good groundsman, and then it became one of the best in the league. Salt.
Yeah. So I think something that has to be done.
Money's tight though, then, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it's. But I agree. Was it the last caller? Was it Chris with the three strikes?
Yeah.
Dundee have had four. Tomorrow's a potential fifth this season.
Andy,
as Kenny says, the last game, there was no other game in the UK.
Andy, what would that look like in terms of quality off pitch? Is it that you need to spend money on it, or how would we enforce that?
It should just be a standard, because you've seen, I'm sure Partick Thistle recently done the same. They've always had a poor pitch, but then they improved it as well, did they not?
Yeah, I think ultimately you need to spend money, and if you don't have it, incidentally, I think Celtic's is probably below the quality they'd want at the moment. It's not like they're short on cash, but have they spent it? Have they spent it in the right way? I don't really know. Not privy to those discussions.
Needs to be brought in, and it's just the proof in the pudding. If the pitch is deemed playable, and if it's three times it happens, there needs to be some sort of...
Yeah, but I think Andy's thinking sort of more preventative then, you know, before you get to that stage, what does your pitch need to be before you can get in the Premiership? Because it needs undersoil heating, we said and that's easy to implement. But is there another way? But I think it clearly is just linked to money. There are no bad pitches in the English Premier League, you know, just is what it is. And I don't know then can you centralise these things, where I don't think we've got the resources right now, but you know that money's in some sort of pot. I think there are other nations that do that to make sure that there's a minimum standard. Because we're talking about postponements, right? Which is it's like the extreme. You know, that's the worst case scenario. We're on about actually just getting games on. But should we actually be striving for
a level
of pitch that's good to play on? Never mind just, you know, can the game take place?
It's for a product. You know, this is the games are on every single week. People watch on the TV. They want to see a good pitch.
How do you gauge that though? So say the guy goes up at the start of the season and Dens is looking great.
Magnificent, yeah.
And then you get to this stage and whatever's happened has happened, whether it's weather, whether it hasn't been treated right. It's hard to gauge.
Daryl says that FIFA have pitch ratings for tournaments. There we go. Whatever that looks like, you're the grass experts in. Don't make any jokes.
Listen, there needs to be
a few of them in Scottish football. But I guess it is a good suggestion, Andrew. I don't mind that at all. It's a good suggestion. Thanks for taking the time, Andy.
Guys.
Well, he's changed his stage name. I got confused because I introduced him as Andrew, didn't I? And then I just looked at my screen and he's Andy all of a sudden.
I've got him down as Andy.
I don't know. Anyway, right. Thank you again to Andy / Andrew and Renfrew on 01419511025. Stephen Wiseman sent me a tweet. He's watching in the live stream, although it's a bit like a backhanded compliment. He says, nothing good on the TV, so resorted to this. Right, Stephen.
That's definitely.
Calm down, Stephen. Yeah,
very much a backhanded compliment.
Supposed to prioritise this wild, happy Friday nights. What's Kenny's prediction?
I'm going to draw. I'm sitting right on the fence. 2-2 though. Nice score. Good score draw.
You know, I'm quite pernickety with these things. It's a bit of a bugbear of mine when people describe that as sitting on the fence.
Is that?
Because
no, it's you not think, that's what I'm yourself right.
If you
there,
think
you?
That's the way it's going to end, that's the way you think it's going to end.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks to Stephen for being forced to watch the live stream. Hopefully you're enjoying it. That's now an option for you in case you're late in catching up this season. And whilst we're at it, Stephen and everybody else, make sure you subscribe to that YouTube channel, please. He's, you know, it's modern day 2024. Pundits in here with baseball caps on, as Hugh Keevans would say.
Don't bring that up again.
Simon Donner.
I get stick.
Bring it up.
I get
stick. Watching it.
2 weeks ago. Why does he always wear a hat?
My mum texts me the same at the start of this show.
About me?
Tonight.
About me? Mm-hmm.
Well, you're the only one wearing a hat.
What? Why does he always wear a hat?
Pretty much. Along those lines.
Lose
just don't know what to do his hair.
Lose a hat.
Anyway, let's go, Gary and Blantyre.
Losing the hair. Never mind that.
How are you, Gary?
Hi, Gordon. Evening, Kenny and Simon.
Good, Gary.
I hope you're well.
Good. How are you, more importantly?
Yeah, I'm actually been forced to listen as well because I'm driving home to work.
Forced. Unbelievable. No, what are you thinking forced, then ahead of the weekend?
So I think, I say to your producer there, I think myself is, and I'd imagine most other Celtic fans are probably a lot more confident now than we were maybe about 4 or 5 weeks ago in terms of the way we're playing, and in terms of the squad, hopefully the players we're going to get back, in terms of Callum McGregor, Hatate looking pretty sharp, I would say, on Sunday at Livingston, and then Carter Vickers. And I'm sure that Kenny and Simon would agree, as former players, the backbone of that the team is so crucial. Big players. Carter Vickers just makes such a difference to the full team, actually, not just the defence. Carl McGregor's a kind of stalwart of these occasions, kind of runs them pretty much every time he plays in them. And then Hatate's come in and made an impact in the game, so he's joined as well. So, yeah, I think Celtic are in a far better place. Although I would stress that at the minute, I'd probably bite your hand off and take a draw at the minute, because I think that puts us in a good position with obviously the game at Celtic Park to come. But yeah, I think things are looking a bit better now than they were. Probably about 3 or 4, maybe 5 weeks ago.
I think you've led us in really nicely to this clip of Brendan Rodgers, Gary, because he says, Hugh Keevans hates the word, but he's been speaking about the narrative. He thinks that people are writing them off heading into this game, and he said it was the same going into the first game at Ibrox this season.
They're always big games, and that's what I've relished and loved, whether it's Celtic Rangers v Celtic, they're always fantastic games. But I've always seen this game as the storyline for me is always about opportunity. You know, I go back to the first game whenever we went there. It wasn't just a real good lesson in football, but I think in life. Because in that first game, individually, collectively, and as a club, we were wrote off arriving into Ibrox. And it feels the narrative is pretty much the same, even though the form is both teams are, 4 wins and a loss out of the last 5 games. Yeah, I think it's been the narrative most of the season. That's been the storyline, really, whether it's warranted or not. But yeah, I think coming into this game, I think it's pretty much the same sort of feeling.
I get that, and this is what you can do with stats, and you can say, of course, the last 4 wins and a loss, both teams.
Yep.
Stretch out a bit further from 5, though, and you'll see Rangers would have had a better record in that time. So, Do you think that fair? Is that accurate?
I think the last game, I think Brendan's referring to the personnel. Celtic had a few injuries, Carter Vickers, etc. And I think, remembering being on the show, I think it was a positive thought process there from Rangers.
That
it was going to be a Rangers win.
That first one, the defence Celtic played.
Kyogo popped up with the goal. To go back to the call of Gary, I agree with him as well. I think from my point of view, I'm not super confident, but I'm more confident now watching Celtic in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think they're getting players back at the right time, and there's been signs of it. I covered the St Johnstone game and then the game through at Livingston, where on the plastic pitch, Celtic have been generally decent over the years, but it's a tricky one at times. Took a little bit of time to break the deadlock, but on the whole, a comfortable win. I think they are in a stronger position to go to Ibrox on Sunday. So I'm getting what Gary's saying on the phone there.
Give us a score prediction, Gary. I think we're at that late stage on a Friday night. We can start that.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-1 Celtic.
2-1 Celtic, says Gary in Blantyre. Thank you for taking the time tonight, Gary, on the phones. Let's check in on this teaser before we go any further. Can you name the last 9 lone players to score in an Old Firm game? You've got Jota, Ryan Kent and Craig Bellamy. Give me another guess, Simon.
Ramsey.
Aaron Ramsey, remember him? He is indeed one of them. Kenny, one from you.
Edward.
Odson Edward, well done. Which means I'll take one more guess.
Carter Vickers.
Yes, and we will get the rest of the answers next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are building up. We're getting ever closer to a certain fixture on Sunday. We don't quite know how many fixtures we're going to have on Saturday as a result of a pitch inspection at Dens Park, but we'll keep you up to speed on that one tomorrow. Keep an eye on our social media channels as well for anything that breaks before then. Can you name the last 9 loanees to score in an Old Firm game? Jota, Carter Vickers, Ramsey, Kent, Edward and Bellamy.
El Yunusi.
Yes, well done. March 2021.
Toiling.
2 to get.
Need clues.
1 is extremely easy. I mean, you're going to tell me no, it's not, because we've not got it. But for a very specific reason, you really need to get this one.
What's the specific reason?
Let's just say this one doesn't really require much memory. We're not really going back.
The latest then. What was the latest? So you had Kyogo, and who scored the first one? Oh, Bernardo.
There you go. Paulo Bernardo.
Goodness sake.
All the way back to December. Right, one more. And that is hard. Trust me. Let's bring in Dominic, who's on the line. How are you, Dominic?
I'm good, thanks, Gordon. Yourself?
Yeah, good. What you got for us tonight?
It's to do. Sorry, good evening as well, Simon and Kenny.
Hi, Dominic.
It's to do with, I've seen the producer, it's to do. I was listening to Roger's press conference earlier, and he was talking about John Beaton. The journalist asked, and I thought that it's quite disrespectful when it came across as he did. To be fair, he did answer the question, but
Dominic, I'll play that clip because you've brought it up, and it's a very valid point. But in case anyone hasn't heard it, this is what Brendan Rodgers had to say on the appointment of John Beaton.
Listen, I think for me, for John to be given the game, I think that these games are for the top referees, and I've always said that John Beaton's one of the top referees in the country. So he's been allocated the game. I'm comfortable with that. He's refereed games that have been there before. So my point, like I said before, was for that one game. I'm not talking about John Beaton's career as a referee. My gripe was on that day. So they will feel that they have to appoint someone who's experienced, and John is one of the top experienced referees in the country.
So what do you think, Dominic? You think that's a strange thing to say? Brendan Rodgers tries to explain it, though. He says, you know, he was just talking about on that day at Tynecastle, he's no problem overall.
Aye, but Gordon, the way he put it was on the Tynecastle, he said that John Beaton made the decision for the VAR, this and that. But now he's kind of backtracking in what he's saying. Don't get me wrong, I think John Beaton is one of the best referees in Scotland, but I think it's a bit disrespectful to him for saying what he said at Tynecastle, and now he's kind of backtracking in what he said.
Is it? I don't know if it's disrespectful, but I think there would be an element of eyebrows raised maybe to hear that such praise on the a couple of weeks after a ban for calling out incompetence.
I'm not too sure what Dominic's point is, because I thought it was quite straightforward. He touched on the Tynecastle game, which he got a suspension for, and he made his comments quite clear at the time, but I think he's gave John Beaton the credit there and said he's one of the top referees, and that's what should be, or who should be in charge in the game on Sunday.
I agree. I actually agree with what Brendan said. I think John Beaton is a good referee. By the way, did he get things wrong on that day? I probably think he did as well. You know, so, but it doesn't change the fact, like, over the piece, he is one of the better referees. And again, when these games come along, you need the experienced referees to be in the heat of the battle, though, because it will get highly charged, and the referees can, as well as players, can get caught up in the atmosphere and the occasion. So it's important that you've got the best on field, you know. So I think Brendan Rodgers, after the Hearts game, he would have been really, really disappointed in how the game went. They've lost the game. Again, lost more ground in the league title race, and you make comments and a bit of emotion. Listen, he clearly felt that there was things that went against him that day. I think there's a lot of people that agree with him in that as well.
Match prediction before we go, Dominic?
3-0 Rangers.
3-0, it's about as confident as we've had on the phones, that's for sure. We had a Celtic fan who was confident a minute ago of a win, but Gary said the Celtic fans are not remembering the first half they had at Livy last week. Shocking, wasteful second half to beat. It took the second half to beat the team that are going to the championship, said Gary on Twitter. Like, we kind of went over this during the week, but, you know, a final thought, since we're hearing more on John Beaton, it's just already set up, unfortunately, isn't it? You can set your watch by, if a mistake is made that the Celtic fans feel is a pro Rangers mistake, they'll say, well, look at this. We told you this would happen. Look at John Beaton. And if a mistake is made that the Rangers fans believe is pro-Celtic, they'll say, the pressure's worked.
They've influenced the rest.
I always think that's just quite depressing when we already know. Yeah. And there's pretty much a guarantee that incidents that you otherwise wouldn't even really look at become debatable. Mm. Debatable ones become shambles and disgraces and all the rest of it. We just need to accept it, don't we? I guess.
Or we sit and we hope and we keep our fingers crossed that the game goes through without any incident.
No,
and we're actually Monday night talking about the football and two really good teams that have gone at it. It's been a wonderful spectacle for Scottish football.
It's not like me to be so negative, but I actually think we're at the stage where that's pretty much impossible.
I think it is. Because
I obviously don't have the emotional charge of sort of caring whichever outcome. So there have been meetings with these side in the past with my Clyde One Super Scoreboard presenter hat on. It's got to the end and I've thought, do you know what? There's not really much to say about the ref and that. And then all of a sudden people are phoning in about incidents that apparently they did feel very strongly about. Yeah, well, we'll wait and see. But anyway, right, let's pretty much leave it there. We are almost out of time. Can you name the last 9 lone players to score in this fixture? You're doing very well. Most recently, extremely recently, was Paulo Bernardo. Then Jota, Cameron Carter-Vickers. There was Aaron Ramsey to get Rangers in there. Mohamed El-Younoussi, Ryan Kent, Odson Edouard, and Craig Bellamy. Last one's
I'm talking.
Oh, unbelievable. Let me look at
what side?
Celtic.
Come on, Sid.
Let me have a look. There's something I need to. Don't you look at my screen. All right, okay. I just want to do a wee bit of research on this one.
Because you don't know who he is.
No, I know who he is. No. This clue revolves. This call revolves around you. This clue revolves around you, though.
Kenny.
I was just thinking if he was involved, and I couldn't remember which team he would have been involved. But actually, I don't think you were involved.
What year was it?
The year? The 11-12 season.
11-12.
Nah, I was gone.
11-12. He is. Nationality, I think, is going to help you here. Moroccan.
Oh. Scored at Ibrox.
Do you remember it, Kenny?
Forget his name. Scored at Ibrox.
Yeah, got him now. Yep, Kaduri.
Badr El Kaduri.
Well done with the name.
Yeah.
Super.
Is it Ibrox, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Right, go on then. You said it earlier, score prediction. Yep. Draw.
Yep. Score draw.
2-1 Celtic.
There we are. Plenty more predictions tomorrow. Hugh Keevan somewhere. He's rocking back and forward in his rocking chair in a leafy suburb of Glasgow, just psyching himself up for tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be full of drama as well, by the way, because we don't even know if Dundee Motherwell will go ahead, and then what will it mean if it doesn't? We are on air, 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us, and the GBX is up next.